Welcome to the Speaking Podcast. You can find all our episodes on speakingpodcast.com. We're also on BitChute and YouTube, Speaking Podcast. I also have the Awakening Podcast, the Meditation Podcast, and the Learn Polish Podcast, and all can be found on roycolin.com. Today, my guest, just overseas from Ireland, even though I'm living in Poland, please welcome John Baker.
Hi, Roy. Great to be here.
Great. What part of the UK are you from?
So I'm down on the south coast in Swanage. That's just for those of you who don't recognise that, it's just near the Isle of Wight.
Okay, very nice. So I always like people to let them introduce. So John, you might tell the listeners, who's John?
So my name is John Baker, as I said, and yeah, based on the south coast. And I work with introverts and help them to improve their business. More importantly, I work with leaders and managers so they understand the introverts in their business and they can help them to get more from that.
Excellent. And before we go into the introverts, I always like to know, you know, when you were younger, were you the introvert or were you the extrovert?
It's funny because at that age, I didn't really understand the whole concept. But as I began to understand about introversion, I look back and there's so many things throughout my childhood where I go, yeah, very obviously, always the introvert.
I class myself as an ambivert, you know what I mean? Yeah. Times introvert, other times extrovert, and it's just the mood I'm in.
And I think that's a really important thing, because I think that one of the things I help people to do is to learn tactics. I'm an introvert. I'm not going to change from being an introvert. However, I can learn tactics and other people can learn tactics to help them perform in different ways. And some people would describe that as, I can help them to become an extrovert. Well, they're not actually going to become extroverted, but we can learn tactics that help us perform far much more powerfully in an extrovert-driven world where people think strange things. I mean, people think speakers are all extroverts and no introverts could be speakers. It's like, oh, okay, go there another moment.
I've been at an event because I was invited by a friend and managed to go out with all the speakers. Prior to that, I watched them on stage and was blown away by their skill, and you would be full sure they were all extroverts. We went out, you couldn't have a conversation with them, and they weren't even talking with each other. They were complete introverts. And I was shocked to see that. I know I just assumed prior to that a person, if they're an extrovert on stage, that's their personality. It's not how it is.
Absolutely. I mean, I always remember the first time I did a big stage event. So I was at the NIA in Birmingham, and there's a thousand or so people in the auditorium, and I'm up on stage. Now, I won't say I wasn't at all nervous, because I think that everybody should be slightly nervous when they go up on stage. Not big nervous, but slightly nervous. And performed great, not a problem at all. Then afterwards, had to meet two or three of them in the bar, chatting individually. It's like, no, I'm really, really scared. Now I don't like it. Now I feel incredibly uncomfortable. But the stage bit, brilliant. And that's very true for a lot of introverts, funnily enough.
So you're saying that you kind of have tips and tricks for people. I mean, there is people that are even afraid to get on stage and make a speech. So what can you teach us, John?
Well, I think the first thing is that introversion and fear of public speaking or getting on stage are two very different things. I think we've got to pull them apart, because I think we've got to deal with them separately. So I can talk a lot about introversion, glossophobia, and the fear of public speaking. I think we've got to deal with that slightly differently. Biggest things I say there is, to me, and I've been coaching people for many, many years, is this idea of just jump out of it, break your comfort zone, jump out of your comfort zone. I think that's a lot of baloney. I think asking somebody to break or jump out of their comfort zone is very, very wrong. I think to stretch your comfort zone slowly and steadily makes a lot more sense. So I would say do it one step at a time. What is it that is the fearful part for you? What is creating the problem? Now, I'm going to come back to something which you kind of alluded to a couple of minutes ago. And it really helped me a few years ago. So I was the president of the London region of the Professional Speaking Association. And the great thing about that is you're organising an event every month and you've got some top worldwide speakers and you've got 100 or so people in the room. And Of course, because I'm the president, I'm not just in the room like everyone else watching the one speaker on stage. I'm making sure the whole day is running well. And you become aware that all these great speakers have, in their own different way, display nerves. They're pacing up and down outside the room before they go on stage. And they develop their own tricks to get over themselves, to get ready, to get in the zone, whatever you want to call it, before they go on stage. And then you meet other people who say, oh, I couldn't possibly do that because I'm really scared and I need to walk up and down. And you go, all of the great speakers do it. So I think the thing is, you will never stop being afraid. Do stretch the comfort zone a bit at a time, but it's not as big and scary. You know, start with a small audience, start with and then gradually grow. Start with a small organization where you can get some really useful tips and tricks about the way you present them. Toastmasters is a great organization, which I'm sure you come across, which can help with things like that. But I think there's lots of things we can talk about speakers, but I think the other thing is, I'm going to come back to the myth about introverts and speakers, because that's where I kind of get frustrated, shall I say, which is when people say, oh, you're an introvert, you can't be a speaker. It's a complete myth. And I think it comes from the fact that, as you said, many people assume that because somebody's up on stage, it looks extroverted, therefore it can't be. Well, first of all, what is it that makes us go, oh, it can't be, it must be an extrovert? Because we assume that introverts don't like the limelight, or they don't like being loud and brash. Well, you don't, let's be honest for a second. I'm sure you have as well, seen many great speakers and many truly awful speakers who are clearly just up on stage because they love the limelight and because they are full of ego. And they're not actually good speakers. So the first thing is, I often say to introverts, you have a strength as an introvert, which is you're going to be focused much more on the audience. You're going to be focused much more on the other person. You're going to be focused much more on the message than yourself. And some of the big, loud, brash people are all about ego and about the self. So I think that introverts can be much, much better at speaking because of that. And introverts typically, although it's not exactly the same, introverts typically ego, they don't particularly like ego, they value humility. That can make a great, great speaker. Introverts typically are very good listeners. Well, that's good. That also, however, means that they are going to be great observers. So you can think a lot about your audience. You can notice what your audience, you're much more likely to be in the moment with your audience, and the audience are much more likely to notice that, even if it's subconsciously. If we see a speaker on stage who's basically rehearsed his whole script and just going blah, 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 as opposed to one that quite clearly is reacting with the audience, we notice them, we think they're much better. So an introvert, because they tend to be good observers, are much more likely to be good speakers. I don't know if any of those bits I've said are going, oh, no, don't agree.
No, totally agree with what you've just said. And it's like what I've seen. I mean, I'm in Toastmasters. I've been a part of a few clubs, and I've seen that. You know, the cocky people, they're always about me, my story. And the ones, whether they're nervous at the start, they kind of build from it. Because, I mean, as you mentioned, I mean, I've seen people pacing up and down. Everybody's got their own way. You know, the breathing techniques. Some people are jumping up and down. You know, like you see Tony Robbins said, he's clapping and everything before he actually goes out. I know he does that on stage. So he actually, his hands were damaged from it because he's hitting his hands so often. He's actually damaged his hands. So
I mean, for me, a bit of exercise, lots of stretching, whether it's kind of arms out stretching, but lung, some really big breathing, I find incredibly helpful. And then I always remember being taught to make a series of funny noises and using all your lips and stretching. So stretching everything that you're likely to use. Because, of course, when you're not speaking, it's like I've got a couple of other hobbies. One is scuba diving, but one of the other things I do a lot is I go running. And, of course, you go for a run. You don't just go, right, I've been sitting down, I'm now going to sprint across the garden and down to the sea. you start off gently, and yet when we're talking, we forget that need. So I think that's a very big one to think about. But I think the other thing, as I was saying, when it comes to introverts are great observers. So use your introvert strengths when you're thinking about speaking. What is it your audience need? What is it your audience want to know about your expertise? How can you structure that so that you can deliver it in a good format? One of the other introvert strengths, of course, is planning skills. Brilliant. So introverts tend to be good planners. So use that strength if you're thinking about speaking. Plan out what you're going to do, which, and I'd love to know your view on this one. So get to know your subject, but that's not the same as memorizing it. Because I don't know about you, Roy, but I've found lots of people who just, as I said earlier, just read. It's almost as if they're reading. And it's almost as if sometimes it says in their mental version of the script, say this, say this, say this. Take one step to the right, say this. Take two steps to the left. It's like a dance, and it comes across as an act. So I often think it's important to know the subject really well, but not memorizing it, so that you can go in the flow, you can be with the moment. A number of years ago, I heard that Morecambe and Wise, great comedians, of course, you know, sadly moved on from those days now, but they knew the subject so well that they didn't follow the script. They could adapt it. They knew it backwards, forwards, sideways, and they could just suddenly see a new moment. They could spot somebody doing something and could change it, and they could act through it. So know the subject really well. My version of that works for me, might not work for everyone else, is when I'm getting ready, I'll go for a walk. Around here, there's some very steep hills going through the forest up from the beach. And I'll walk up and down the hills. And while I'm doing that, I will speak out loud the presentation I'm going to give. A couple of things it does for me. One is, I haven't got the notes with me, so I'm not trying to read. It's embedding it in my head. And I suddenly realise that I pick out, because I've said it three or four times, I pick out some key phrases that I think, actually, that's a really good phrase. And they quickly become clear. But the other thing is, it's making me breathe. Otherwise, you won't get up the hill. Breathe and talk at the same time. And that's similar to being able to project my voice when I'm up on stage. I think the walking to me helps, because I've got no notes. I'm actually speaking it. Don't just try and say it in your mind, but get out and talk it. And that helped me to know the subject, but without memorizing all the lines. So I think that one helps me. I don't know if that's something you come across.
Yeah, definitely. What I've seen in competitions, and it kind of annoys me actually in Toastmasters, because they tend to win. They're the people that are totally rehearsed, and they're not really engaging with the audience. They're doing the flick of the hair. They're doing the turn. They're doing the exact expressions. They have it kind of recorded to a T, to the breaths that they're going to take, the pauses they're going to. And to me, a good speaker is somebody that's actually able to pivot as they're speaking. If they see something happen, they can change. It doesn't throw them. And for some reason in the competitions, people don't actually realize that's what a good speaker is. I mean, that's my own view. I don't think a good speaker is a guy that has practiced it. Like, I've had plenty of people on, and I mean, it's not that they're not impressive speakers, because they are. But what happens is, when you talk to them, they've practiced it 100 times, 200 times. I've often done speeches that I'll write it down, because when I was in some clubs, nobody wanted to speak. So I kind of done a load of speeches. I've done over 100. I got to the DTM in like 3 years. And what I would do is I'd have my title, I'd have my introduction, my bullet points, and my conclusion, but I know the material. And I would make sure, and I'd have people coming up to me 2 years later going, I remember that speech. And that wasn't me, repeating a speech 100 times. That was me speaking from the heart and connecting with the audience. And, you know, this time something would happen, someone's phone go off or what, I can always adjust. But I've seen people halfway through their speech, something happens, they panic, or it's like saying the alphabet, they forget a letter. And they start and they go through the whole lot again. And there's nothing more painful if you're in the audience going, this is sad, you know, that the guy has to start. And especially if it's a 7 minute speech and they're 4 minutes in and that happens, it means they're going back to the start again. So I have to listen to 4 minutes again of the exact same thing, because the guy has a strange strategy for remembering his speech. So.
Yeah, I mean, it does. It becomes, as you said, it's more like an act. I'll flip my head to the left, flip my head to the right. And I I don't know. I don't find it interesting. So it's strange that some organisations will mark that highly, I guess, is the answer for me. But yeah, I mean, to me, one of the difficult things about the whole last year where we've been presenting online is when I'm speaking, I'll notice somebody in the audience do something or look surprised when I say something or act. And I can actually just use that point and comment on it. And if something funny happens, I can actually draw on that. But not having that has been the hardest thing about online presentations in my experience.
It's like taking the soul out of a body, basically.
Yeah, interesting way of looking at it. But no, I think the big tip I would give, as we say, for introverts is know the subject really well. Plan it because you can, because you're good at that. But don't think you have to memorize it. Don't sit there and turn it into some act. Think of the key three or four messages you want to deliver. Focus on those. What's going to help you to deliver each of those three or four? Now just go with it from there. And okay, so when I initially write a new presentation, yeah, I do tend to write it down, but very quickly I lose all the little bits and I just come down to 10 bullet points. Now I can go for a walk. And that's when I can develop the presentation further.
And especially in these crazy times that we're living in, you've got a beautiful background there, of the plant, and it just looks really good. What have you learned from having to, be obviously doing your training face-to-face to online?
I think for me, as I said, the hard bit has been not being able to draw from the audience. And that's interesting, because when we talk about introverts, we talk about energy. And so hang on, as an introvert, typically I lose energy when I'm with lots of people. But on stage, we all absorb some energy from the audience, introverts and extroverts. So the hardest thing has been that one online. I think the big one for me online, the tip I'd go, is keep everything as simple as possible. I've seen lots of people get really, really worried about all the technical stuff and, I need this type of camera, I need it here, I need it here, and I need 27 lights, and I've got to have a green screen. Very often, keeping very simple makes it far, far easier. And so, yes, it is a real plant, and it's a plant that I happen to like.
Sure.
But keeping it really simple, I think, is the big thing, because there's enough going on when you're presenting that you don't want to also be worrying about all the other stuff around you.
And I know that, is it three books that you've written?
Yeah, so the first one I was involved with writing with my business partner, which was The Go-To Expert, which is about becoming the expert in your particular niche so you can grow your business. The second one, well, the second two were written around introversion. One was called Ninja Networking, which is to help introverts to grow their network in an introvert-friendly way, because we all go out. If I said networking to you, Roy, what do you think of when I say, oh, go networking?
It's basically going to an event and start connecting with other people to get the business cards and making, if you're trying to get business, that they know what you're doing.
Absolutely. And yet that's almost introvert hell. Hang on, introverts lose energy when they're surrounded by lots of people they don't like, or not so much like, don't know. And so, yeah, that's introvert help. And yet, networking is a great way to grow your business. So Ninja Networking is about helping introverts to grow their business in a more introvert-friendly way. And the third book is called Running Meetings That Make Things Happen. And that one came about because many businesses are not fully productive. They're not fully productive because the leaders or the managers don't properly understand introversion. And the big area is the way we run meetings, which, we run a meeting because we want everybody to be engaged. And we run the meeting in such a way that the loud, brash people get to spend all their time talking and the quiet introverts don't get to say a word, which is ridiculous. So running meetings that make things happen is about running meetings in an introvert-friendly way.
You found networking is like, some people, they're like a blackjack dealer with their business cards. You know, they're like, hi, I'm John, ba ba bum, ba ba bum. Hi, I'm Mary, ba ba bum. I used to always make Sometimes I might just spend the whole evening with one. If I had a great, if I met you and we just started connecting, I wouldn't make it my business. Yeah, John, I have to, because people even say, I need to go to battle. I'll come back to you later. And that's their way of actually getting, if I connect with somebody, I build the relationship. And you have so much, because then, like, you're in contact with that person 10 years later. Whereas the guy that's the blackjack dealer probably doesn't connect with anybody, because like somebody's like, I will never remember that guy, but I'll remember the guy that spent the evening with me. We had a nice drink and we had a decent conversation. And a lot of the time, I've been at events. I go to, it's A-Fest. I've been at events. It's kind of like twice a year we used to go to different places around the world. And there was one guy we were talking, I don't know, was it the fifth event? And he says to me, I don't even know what you do. We never discussed business. We just connected as people. And I love that, because yeah. I know that if he rings me or I ring him, we're there for each other and we'll help each other. It was never to try and get something out of it. And unfortunately, a lot of people, they go in, what can I get? Same with BNI. I mean, I was involved in BNI. I done very well with BNI because I was always helping people. But there's so many people, they go in there and they're like, what can I get? What can I get? What can I get? Why didn't somebody give me business? Why didn't somebody give me business? And it's just, you know, you need to look at it always reverse.
The focus is very often the wrong way around. I mean, I love your definition of the blackjack dealer. And I guess we've all seen that. I'm thinking, yeah, I just love that term. But the networking thing is interesting. So there's a ski trip that I go on every year, apart from this year, of course, in crazy times. But it's full of business owners. So that's 50 or 60 business owners. Again, introvert, hell, it's like, oh, no, I don't want to go networking with all these people. But it's a networking trip, but nobody really talks business at all. By the end of the week, sometimes you've been skiing with somebody all week and you say, so what is it you actually do? And the relationships you get from that. And to me, that's the important thing. Networking is about relationships. And introverts can make relationships as well as extroverts. They do it in a different way and they tend to have fewer, deeper relationships. So I think focusing on that is absolutely important, which is where the Ninja Networking book came from.
Yeah. And just going into kind of the business side of things then, say, with a leader, because, I mean, we see a lot of the time you've got, people that are introverts and extroverts, and even whether it's, a meeting environment where, unfortunately, a lot of the times you have the extroverts that do all the talking, but they ain't the smartest ones in the room a lot of the times. And also in actually the running of the business and not doing the things, because sometimes you need the introverts to come up because they tend to be more the deep thinkers, from my experience.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't sit there and say extroverts are not clever, because there's some incredibly clever in extroverts. But typically, introverts will be the deeper thinkers, or they're certainly known as the people that think things through much more, which is why in a team you want the energy, the instant creativity and answers that some of the extroverts can give, but you also need to balance that with the deep thinking that the introverts can bring to it and the reflection the introverts can bring. And that's where many teams and meetings go wrong, because they get dominated by the quick thinking, quick fire extrovert, and the deep thinking bit is missing. And so suddenly the team is herring off in one direction because they haven't considered the other options. And so the results are never as good.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know you're also a podcaster, so you might tell us the name of your podcast and what's it about.
I would love to. It won't be any surprise to you know it's about introversion. And it's called Activate Your Introvert. And it's about helping leaders to understand introversion.
Excellent. Listen, John, it's been wonderful speaking to you. So how can people get in contact with you?
Best way to do that is through my website, which is introvertinbusiness.co.uk. But I'm now on LinkedIn, on Twitter, I'm there. So I'd love to chat to people.
Excellent. I'll make sure that I put the links in the podcast description. But listen, it's been wonderful speaking to you, John. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Roy. It's been great to talk. Bye-bye.
So that's all for the Speaking Podcast. You'll find us on speakingpodcast.com, and we're on BitChute on Speaking Podcast and on YouTube Speaking Podcast. Until next week, take care.